Chapter 4 is where we're at, going to start this morning, and I want you to be ready for this. I need you to do me a couple of favors. One, after the service, I know many of you exit out this way, some this way, some this way, but in this foyer, right over here, there are two bushels of satsumas that Brother Clarence brought in. He picked them himself. He's got several trees and said he had a bountiful harvest this year. And we're grateful for that, and he wants to share that. And so I'd ask you to fill up a bag or two, enough for you, your family. And I believe he said he'd have some more next Sunday. So if you don't get any today, then let's just make sure you get some next week. And then I think you said, Brother Clarence, maybe some lemons as well next week. Is that right? Some lemons, possibly? So some lemons next week as well. So do this. Don't let a man's good labor go to waste. Amen. So get you some satsumas. I know he appreciated that. And make sure you tell him thank you as well. Amen. All right. Hebrews chapter 4 is where we're going to start. And I want to introduce. Oh, I said a couple of things. That was one thing. One other thing. There's many of us here. I don't know what time it is. I can't see the clock. I'm old. I'm going to where I can't see the clock anymore. So I'll stop preaching when I'm done preaching. Okay. But just stay here. Amen? Just stay. If it's an emergency, you got to go. But we're all big people. We can hold it. So let's do that, please, okay? I don't want anybody to get distracted today. They might need this, okay? You might not. If you don't need it, check out. Do whatever you're going to do. But somebody else might need this. I need this. So please, let's just stay right in our seats, no moving around. If you got a cell phone, make sure it's on silent. That'll be good. All of that can be distracting sometimes. But we're here to hear from the Word of God. This is important stuff. We want to get to it. So let's get to it, and we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 4 says in verse number 16, says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Over the next few weeks, as we approach December 25th, I plan on, and I don't normally announce my sermons. Some say, well, I already know what he's preaching. I don't have to come. Normally, through this season, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, I'll spend several weeks talking about and leading up to the events that surrounded the birth of Christ. I think I'm going to assume that everyone has heard all of that before, at least once. So, because I'm getting this feeling in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit that we oftentimes neglect certain things around this season because we get busy. And look, I understand busy. I get busy. I neglect these things when I get busy, and I shouldn't. And so I'm going to try to spend the next few weeks talking about and preaching on as a reminder of things that we don't need to let slip just because we're busy. You can see, some of you may have already picked up on, from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, as the scripture says, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need," or in time of need. We're going to talk about prayer this morning. Amen. We need to be a people of prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we want to follow your word this morning in coming boldly to you. God, not that we would dare come arrogantly, for Father, we know that you resist the proud. But Father, your word tells us that we can come boldly, that we can come in faith believing that, number one, you will hear our prayer. Number two, you will answer our prayer. And God, I pray this morning that you would allow us to come to you in that manner, that you might hear our requests. God, that you would answer our request. And Father, may we not be so proud to think that just because we're asking something that the answer is going to be yes. Father, if the answer is no, may that answer be okay with us. May we not throw a fit about it. May we not continue to ask. May we understand that no means no. May we understand that not now means not right now. And may we follow your word. May we see it as we explore it today. Place it upon our hearts. Help us in this. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And amen. Sometimes the disciples of Christ, well, let me say it this way. When the disciples of Christ were walking with Jesus, they asked him one day, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They saw the disciples of John praying. They heard prayers. They watched Jesus pray. They saw Jesus pray. They heard Jesus pray. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. It hasn't changed too much over the years. Decades and centuries since Jesus has been risen from the dead, people still are looking how to pray. They want to know, how do I pray? What do I pray for? How does this work and how does that work? And we find here in Hebrews chapter 4 where the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to find help in time of need. This morning, I want to give you five things that we can pray for, that we can spend some time with God praying. You know, one of the most amazing things about prayer is it can be done anywhere, anytime. Do you realize that when the Bible says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, before God's throne, we can come to Him at any time? It is not something that we have to make a schedule for. You know, if we go to the doctor and we're going to go to the doctor, we'd say, hey, I needed a doctor's appointment. And you call the doctor and the doctor says, okay, I have this appointment, this appointment, this appointment. And you have to go based upon the doctor's schedule, right? Yes, thank you. All right, very good. Somebody is listening. You have to go when the doctor's available. Not so with God. I think that's the whole idea here of being able to come boldly. We don't have to schedule an appointment. We don't have to come at the same time every day. We don't have to come three or four or five times a day. Or we don't have to wait until this certain time. And then we don't have to get on a rug and get down on our knees and bow and all of those things. Not that there's anything wrong with any of those things. But we don't have to do that. When we have a need, we can say, Father, now, again, you may have a particular time of day that you set aside and you pray. That's wonderful. I'm glad. At least you're taking the time to pray. And I hope you do. We do that because one of the reasons we do that is because if we don't schedule it, sometimes we just won't do it. Amen. If we don't schedule these things, we won't do these things. Look, I will tell you, there will always be something clamoring for your time. You're going to have to learn to pray on purpose. But hey, I want to remind you of something. Go look, flip over the book of James. Just one book over from Hebrews. Just go to the right there and go to James. I want you to see this. Because the Bible says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We can. But I want to remind you of what he says here. I'm trying to find it. Oh, my mind is blank. I'm on the wrong page. Thank you, man. I was about to ask you, because you know. Verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. In verse 3, ye ask, receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye consume it. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoso therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy, is the enemy of God. Verse 5, do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Now hold on a second, right there. He giveth more grace. Where did God say we could come boldly to? The throne of grace. So he says you can come boldly to the throne of grace. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. We know when we pray that God is going to hear us. But what about when we come to God and we can come boldly? But remember, boldness is not arrogance. Boldness is not proud. Okay? Now, I'm going to borrow an illustration that I saw a few weeks ago. Come help me, my man. Come help me. I saw this illustration a few weeks ago. I said, man, I'm going to use that. So this is not original with me. But Ethan, you like me, right? Yeah, you're a Christian. Amen? Saved on your way to heaven? All right, good. I'm going to be God. Just because it's the illustration. Okay? I want you to come have some fellowship with me. Okay? Keep coming. Come have fellowship. Come pray. Let's talk. Come on. Come over here. Talk to me. Talk to me. What are we doing here? I'm resisting. I'm resisting. You see this? Does God ever do this to you? Come on. Don't stop coming. I mean... Why are you hurting me, though? He's not getting any closer until he loses his pride. Why? Because God resisteth the proud. Push you on the other side. Because this arm's getting tired. Now this arm's tired. God resisteth the proud. If he has like hand marks on his chest, it's his fault. He keeps coming. Do you get it? God says, no. When we come to God, don't miss this. Thank you, you may be seated. We must come to God on his terms. Oh, yes, we can come anytime. We don't have to have an appointment. We can come in as our Father and say, God, I need help. But we can't come in demanding it. We can't come in proudly. Because when we do, God says, wait a second. Mm-mm. You see why? Because God resisted the proud. Hey, we can come boldly before his throne of grace. We can. And he giveth more grace. Aren't you glad God gives more grace? But wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Hey, hold on a second. We want to draw nigh to God. We want to come to God. We want to have His grace. We want to have His mercy. We want to have all of these things. Yes, sometimes God just says no. Because we're not coming to Him on His terms. We must come to God on His terms. That's number one. That's really the whole thing. We must come to God on His terms, not our own. Now let me give you the five things that we can pray for. In James chapter 5, in verse number 13, he says, is any among you afflicted? Look what he says. Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up if he hath committed sins, and it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In verse 17, the Bible says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Brother Terry talked about praying for no rain, didn't he? You say, here I am. I'm saying, oh, Lord, I wish it would rain. Maybe somebody's praying that it wouldn't rain. We ought to be thankful either way. He said that, and he did say this too. He said, if it rains 40 days in a row, I'm getting on the ark, brother. If it rains 40 days in a row, I'm getting an ark, just saying. But we do need to be thankful for whatever comes our way. But hey, we can pray for some of these things. We can. Elijah prayed. Look at verse 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Hold on a second. So here's Elijah. He's a man of prayer. He prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years. That's a drought, folks. For 3 years, it didn't rain. 6 months after 3 years, it didn't rain. Before it rained, one of the most miraculous things happened. Elijah had this competition with the 400 prophets of Baal on top of Mount Carmel. They got all these people together and had a little contest. Elijah said, you pray over here, and I'll pray over here, and the God that answers by fire, let him be the God of Israel. They said, okay. And Elijah said, y'all go first. So the 400 prophets of Baal, a few other people got together, they built an altar, and they started early in the morning praying to Baal. Lunchtime came. They prayed for hours. Elijah said, hey, maybe you need to cry louder. Maybe he's sleeping, he can't hear you. It's true stuff. This is my passage to where it's okay to use sarcasm. Elijah did. He said, maybe Baal's sleeping, he can't hear you. He said, well, maybe Baal went on a trip and he's not back yet. Maybe you need to get his attention a little better. So they started jumping on top of the altar. They started cutting themselves, trying to get Baal's attention for, again, hours. Finally, Elijah says, okay, guys, and I'm paraphrasing here, so bear with me. He said, okay, it's my turn. And Elijah prayed. He prayed, and 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 he prayed for hours and hours and hours and hours, and hours became days, and days became weeks, and weeks became... No. That's not what happened. No, 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 no. As a matter of fact, if memory serves correct, it was 63 words. It's either 63 or 67. You can count later. Elijah prayed. Elijah didn't even say amen, and fire fell from heaven. You know why? Because God is the God of Israel. And Elijah said, the God that answers by fire, let him be God of Israel. And God said, no problem. Fire fell from heaven. 63 words. Consume the altar. I didn't even tell you the whole story. They dumped a bunch of water on the altar. Soaked that wood up. And yet that fire that fell from heaven consumed it all. It licked the water up. It licked the altar up. All of it. Why? Because God is God. And when we come to God, we must come to Him on His terms. That was quite a miracle, I tell you. It was. We talk about it, but can I tell you? That wasn't even the beginning. The biggest miracle in that, in my opinion, is the fact that it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months because Elijah prayed. And did you see? Did you miss this? It says when he prayed. He prayed that it wouldn't rain, and then he prayed that it would rain, and you know what happened? It rained. Matter of fact, he sent everybody else off. The children of Israel, they started looking around at these 400 prophets of Baal that spent hours praying to Baal with nothing happening. And they said, we don't like you guys anymore. You guys are false prophets. You can read it for yourself as what they did to those false prophets, but it was spectacular stuff. And as they were taking care of those prophets, and as they were saying, the Lord, He is the God, the Lord, He is the God. As they were saying all of that, Elijah said, hey guys, excuse me, I need to go pray. I mean, right after. I mean, the greatest miracle that these people had ever seen in their life, Elijah said, excuse me, I need to go pray. Remember, it hadn't rained for 3 years, 6 months. He goes back up to the top of Carmel. He gets down on his hands and his knees, and he bows himself to the earth, and he begins praying. And he prays. And he had a servant there, and he called his servant over, and he said, go look and see if it's raining yet. And his servant came back, and he said, no, it's not raining yet. And he sent his servant again. Came back. It's not raining yet. 7 times he sent his servant. On the 7th time, the servant came back and he said, Elijah, it's not raining, but I do see a cloud. It's about the size of a man's hand, and it's dark. And Elijah got up, dusted his knees off, goes to Ahab the king, and he says, hey, you better get home. It's going to rain. Had rain for 3 years, 6 months. What do you mean it's going to rain? He says, it's going to rain. Remember when I told you 3 years, 6 months ago that it wasn't going to rain till I said so? It's going to rain. There's the sound of an abundance of rain. The Bible gives the picture of Ahab getting in his chariot and going down, and Elijah beating him on foot. He was so excited. It's an exciting thing to have prayer answered, isn't it? Amen. I mean, hallelujah. It was a shouting time in Israel. Elijah had a prayer answered. Can I tell you, God still answers prayer? Can I tell you, there's a reason in James chapter 5 that God says, hey, remember Elijah's prayer? What do you need? You see, we can pray for the sick. We can. We should. He tells us, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. Why? Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We can pray for the sick. Hey, we can pray for our spiritual walk. Some of you are having some difficulties walking spiritually. You say, man, I just can't win. I just can't beat this. I can't get past this. I mean, Jesus, did he not say, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation? The Spirit is ready. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We can pray for these things. When he was at the place in Luke 22, he said unto him, pray that ye enter not into temptation. You see, we can pray for our spiritual walk. We can pray for one another. Hey, he says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Isn't it interesting that he says, as he says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and then he gives us the story of Elijah. I don't find that to be a coincidence. Elijah was a man of effectual and fervent prayer. Oh, yeah. But he says, confess your faults one to another. We don't really like to confess our faults one to another. As a matter of fact, we like to confess our good stuff. Our accolades. Hey, let me tell you what I did yesterday. We always try to throw these things in. No. The Bible says, though, pray for one another. Now look, this is, praying is serious stuff, okay? And I'm afraid, I'm so afraid I don't even want to mention this. But I'm going to anyway. I'm afraid that in our modern day culture, our modern day church, we spend more time giving prayer requests than we do praying. I mean, we take them. We want them. But we do. We say, hey, would you pray for this? Hey, can we put this on the prayer list? And I'm all for it. We have a prayer list. I hope you got one when you came in. I hope you prayed through it. I hope you pray for these folks. But if you're spending more time giving a prayer request than you are praying, God help us. God have mercy on us. You see, we want everybody else to do all the praying, but we don't want to. We just want to give the prayer request. May God have mercy. Because he says, pray one for another. Not just give requests. Who's with me here? It's really quiet. I'm concerned. I really am. Now, that doesn't mean stop giving prayer requests. It just means let's pray for the prayer requests. I would love to tell you that I've never done that before, but I have. And because I have, I know you have. Can we confess now? Who's given a prayer request and never prayed for it? Confess. Go ahead. Make me feel good. I'll even close my eyes if you want me to. I've done that. God, help me. Hey, pray for this. I mean, can we make this matter of prayer just maybe a little bit more serious about it? Maybe just a little? I mean, maybe, and this is what I've chosen to do in my life, unless I've prayed for it at least 3 times, I'm not asking anybody else to. That's just me. But if I've prayed for something at least 3 times, then I feel like, hey, I can give this request. Amen. Well, I mean, come on now. But we got to pray for one another. Hey, here's one we don't like to talk about either. Jesus said, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. You pray for your enemies? You say, oh yeah. Pray for my enemies. Mm-hmm. And I hope God gets them. We laugh, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. Because he's, and we skip the first part. We just like pray for them that despitefully use you. Oh yeah, I can do that. But he says, bless them that curse you. Paul said, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. So Jesus says, pray for them, bless them. Paul says, feed them, clothe them. We say, I ain't doing nothing for them. And yet here's God. When we come to him, just resist him. Why? Because we come in pride. Jesus said, pray for more laborers. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. In Matthew chapter 9 and Luke 10, he said, therefore he said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You say, what do I pray for, Pastor? Well, you can pray for the sick. You can pray for your spiritual walk. Man, we need it. You can pray for your enemies. You can pray one for another. You can pray for more laborers. What are we getting at? What we're getting at, you need to pray. So I'm too busy to pray. Man, oh my goodness. I'm just going to meddle just a little bit more on this busy thing, okay? If you can watch TV, you're not too busy. If you can spend 15 seconds on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or any other social media junk, you're not too busy. If you can text and drive, you can pray and drive. Amen. What I'm getting at is you're not too busy. If you can take a shower, you're not too busy. Come on. If you can eat a meal, you're not too busy. If you can watch the Iron Bowl, you're not too busy. Man, we're busy. Oh, man. Got tons of things to do. We find things to do, and we spend time doing things. But have we prayed? Oh, we're busy. And I'm really not trying to make light of these things. But what I'm saying is we're not really busy. Or too busy. We can find the time. Because we find the time to do everything that we want to do. And we wonder what's wrong. We wonder why we get resisted when we do pray. And I'll just tell you, can we just be transparent here for a minute? Some of us are so proud that we get resisted and God says no. and we're so proud. Oh, goodness, we're so proud that we say, it's not going to happen to me again. See if I pray. Because God resisted us because we were proud. Because His Word told us He would. And we're so proud that we don't even realize what's happening. Well, God doesn't even listen to my prayers. Come on. We need to pray. We're definitely not too busy to pray. But yeah, that's usually our excuse. I got better things to do. And that's not what we say, but that's what we're saying. Our nonverbal communication is, I just have better things to do. He said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know about you, but I'm in need every day of God's mercy. And I'm certainly in need of God's grace. Every day. And it's available to us if we just go and get it. What do I pray for? Well, pray for the sick. Pray for your enemies. Pray for one another. Pray for laborers. There's a lot to do. Pray for your spiritual walk. We need this. I need this. Because we're busy people. Let's not be too busy to pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know I've taken a lot of time this morning. But we need to pray. We need to make this a serious matter. Folks are moving because they need to do something in the service here, but hold your seat for a few more moments.